They know better, of course, all of them. The ones I hunt, anyway. They're smart. They know that there are people like me out there, but under the perfect circumstances, they still fall for it. Like you, for example. Hey, it's pretty nasty out. I noticed you over here with a flap. Can I help? The little flash of fear in your eyes shows your wariness. A strange man, even a handsome one like me, isn't always welcome when you're all by yourself. This natural caution could save your life. It won't, though. Not this time. Oh, hey, now I understand if you're not comfortable. I'm assuming that you don't have roadside assistance? I do. I'll call them and ask them to come out for you. Shouldn't take more than an hour, even in this weather. Gratitude and relief show clearly on your face. I'm already obviously calling someone while I stand out here in the rain, plainly trying to help. I even have my back turned to you, a timeless and intrinsic sign of trust among humans and other social animals. If I'm willing to respect your boundaries, doesn't that mean I'm safe? And really, why would you choose to wait an hour to have someone official come out and change a tire? Why, you could let me try right here and now. If it turns out I can't help, you could still call someone. I can practically see your desire to take me up on my offer. The advantage of my assistance is edging out over your sense of self-preservation. Well, yeah, the offer of help still stands. No need to apologize. I'm definitely not trying to pressure you. I can't be too careful these days, you know? Actually, I think I can see what the problem is from here. It looks like some corrosion on the nuts, maybe binding them to the wheel. I should be able to knock those loose for you if you want. That was a lie. I glued them a few days ago, all in preparation for tonight when I cut the valve stem in your tire. You're certainly very smart, but not at all mechanically inclined, so I knew you were likely to miss that. I trail behind you on your long drive home on lonely roads until finally the tire goes flat. I prefer ambush to physical assault whenever possible. Yeah, I can definitely fix this. Do you mind using your phone to light up the wheel? Yes, just like that. All right, stay right there. I've got a longer wrench in my car. You train your phone light on the tire as instructed, and I hide a small smile as I turn to walk away. You are absolutely the type to obey without question, just as I had thought. That's part of why I chose you. I collect good girls, you see. I wait until they're ready to be harvested, and I turn them into something more easily enjoyed. You stand there, holding the phone, shivering in the rain, while I pretend to get a wrench.
Yep, I'm coming back now. Sorry,
I decided to grab a few other things from my car, just in case I needed them. Duct tape, zip cuffs, a syringe full of powerful anesthetic. I put it all into the large pockets of my coat. I'm careful to meander back at an appropriate pace. No sudden change in stride to tip you off to my excitement and arousal. As I come up behind you, I have my arm around your throat before you can make a sound. Your phone clatters to the ground. You struggle so sweetly, but it's already too late.
Shh, that's it. Relax. No sense in fighting. I'm not going to kill you.
I don't cut off your air. Although erotic, that takes too long. Instead, I cut off the flow of blood to your brain. You go limp much faster than you probably thought possible. With a smoothness born of long practice, I zip-tie your wrists and ankles, then tightly cover your mouth in tape, careful to ensure that you can still breathe. You start to move a bit by the time the syringe enters your neck, and in seconds you're fully out. I carry my new toy back to my car, your hands and feet dangling limply. I leave you there and go back to smash your phone with the heel of my boot before kicking it into the muddy ditch by the side of the road. Someone will find it, just like they'll find your car. But we'll be long gone by then. By the time you wake up, you're already in your new home. My workshop, to be specific. A long rectangular hall with many soundproof cells. Some are empty. Some have toys and special frames and furniture that I made myself. And the rest of the cells are outfitted to house my collection, which you are now a part of. I see you stirring on my monitor, so I go down to wish my new doll good morning. I sit on the chair near your bed, but deliberately leave the door open. Some lessons are best to get out of the way early. Good morning, sleepyhead. Welcome to your enclosure. You look at me, and I watch the usual emotions play across your lovely features. Confusion, then fear, and finally anger. Agitated, you don't take time to look around properly, seeing only me sitting next to you and the open door across the room. You bolt before you even notice the collar around your neck or the chain secured to the wall. Oh, that must have hurt, sweetheart. Here, let me help you get back up. No, don't struggle. It won't make this any easier on you. These early days are critical. Right now, you see me as a kidnapper and rapist, which I am. But this kindness and politeness has an erosive effect on the psyche. Over time, good manners degrade resistance. And eventually, you will latch on to the only source of comfort available to you in this place. Me. All right. I'm going to get you some food and water. Be right back. I leave the door open, actively taunting you. This gives you time to try and get out, to mess with your collar, to figure out what I already know. Trying to unlock it without the key is impossible. I bring you a sandwich, smoked salmon and cream cheese on a bagel, and some water, your favourite. It is also drugged. I see surprise and then new fear blossom on your face as you realise that my choice of offering is no accident. I love this part. It's almost as arousing as what I will do with you later. You don't want to eat the food I brought, but you will. The temptation of consuming something that will give you the tiniest sense of comfort and normalcy is too great. You take in the room, really notice it for the first time. There are shelves built into the wall covered in books. They are a mix of your favourites and new ones that I'm certain you will enjoy. The room is painted in tones of deep greens and blue, also your favourite. The soap next to the sink is the brand and scent that you use at home. A sketchbook sits on the desk so that you can draw. I can tell you start to understand as the drugs begin to take hold. The muscles of your beautiful face slacken, relaxing against your will, even as your eyes open in terrible realisation. Leaving you like this, I go to check on the others briefly. I let Darla out to make preparations for the inspection. She is eager to assist me as always, and unduly interested in the new doll. Her usually glazed eyes focus on the raw material in her old room as she works, shining with an uncharacteristic clarity. I always introduce the new material to Darla right away, as she is my most successful doll. Darla's influence works wonders from the beginning of the restoration process. Oftentimes, other dolls come to view her as a friend and confidant, which is favourable. Bonds formed of commonality reduce the desire to escape. The best dolls are complicit in their own captivity. I begin to manually examine the new doll as Darla watches, ready to assist where another needed upon my word. Few flaws on her face. Nothing serious, easily corrected. I'm not sure about the hair, but that can wait. Teeth are good. Yep, looks great. Arms are smooth and appropriately muscled. In fact, they feel quite nice. We must do something about these hands, however. They are quite inadequate for such an excellent artist. I believe we have something with much finer motor control in your size currently in stock. Darla, my marker. Good. And we must inspect the torso. My shears, Darla. Quickly, please. And hold her down. She's still struggling.
You should do as he says, you know, and stay still. Is it really all that difficult for you to follow simple instructions and be a good doll? And stop crying. It makes you look hideous. Honestly, it's like you want to be discarded.
There we go. Without her rather unfashionable shirt and bra constraining her, she does have wonderful articulation. Back is quite nice. Stomach is firm, but still well curved. Chest is certainly adequate, but we should firm it up to meet customer expectations. Nipples are almost ideal. If she turns out to be unsuitable, then we are most certainly saving them. Now, for the lower regions. Thank you. Feet are good. May need to revisit. Legs are appealing. A few skin corrections, perhaps. Thighs are, well, they have an aesthetic that I quite like, as well as a very nice feel. Forceps.
I am sorry, sir. Here you are, sir.
Thank you. Do keep your eyes on the task. Performing the pinch test now. There we are. Satisfactory lividity, too. They should bruise nicely if we choose to keep that feature. I shall try to keep them intact with all original material for now. Darla, if you could...
Stop crying, you little sissy. Nothing bad has even happened to you yet. I know the collector is very good with his hands. He's just trying to get you used to being touched, being improved on. Where did you even come from acting like this? Down here, dolls are expected to behave properly. In exchange, we are free from the burden of autonomous thought and the heinous abuse of most living men. The collector will treat you as a prized addition as long as you act like a good doll.
Now for the genitalia. I'm not certain we'll be keeping the current configuration intact. Truly, it does depend on how much of a purist the customer is. And okay, very good. Very good. Hair can always be increased or reduced per specification. Shush now. I need to concentrate. Let the drugs do their work and be a good doll while I finish my inspection. Adequate lubrication. Swelling is pleasing. Very tight. We may need to leave her open. Perhaps make her appear a bit virginal. There is an appeal to that. Very strong grip as it spasms and contracts. Darla, please make a note that this doll can achieve orgasm quickly and against her will. And that will increase the sale price by at least 20%. Hold her legs up for me. good. Both orifices are visually pleasing post-climax and appear to be quite elastic. And next is anal penetration. There we go. So, some difficulty inserting a single digit in the anus. There we are. Significant force required to insert two. Note, very sensitive to internal anal stimulation. All right, so clean and cover her and then come upstairs.
You almost did well. At least you're learning to enjoy yourself. Your body responded to the collector's hands faster than most new material. Let me just get you all cleaned up. Shh! It's not quite time yet. Try to go back to sleep. Don't move your hands. I'm trying to fasten your new gloves. The buttons on these things are tiny. Oh, but look how cute they are! They match your little blue outfit perfectly. What's that you're saying? Your hands hurt? Of course they do. With you fighting the drugs like a petulant child and not sleeping like you're told. It was very kind of the collector to gift you with these new hands while you were asleep. It's a much different experience when you're awake. The becoming. See that oval mirror hanging on the far wall? Isn't it beautiful? Just like I always wanted as a little girl. The collector got it for me as a gift. He's very indulgent. You'll see. I thought you might like to borrow it. I know you're groggy, but try to focus on your face and the reflection. Can you see the marks he drew while you were asleep? They're guidelines, the blueprints for how to make you perfect. That is the collector's design for you, to make you perfect. You should be grateful. Stop fidgeting and sleep now. Do as you're told. Naughty dolls get put in the isolation box, and we can't have you messing up your new hands by clawing at the walls trying to escape. Now can we? When you wake up, you'll understand everything, sissy.